Welcome to the Ignite Your Power podcast. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Joycelyn Lewis. The Ignite Your Power podcast will be offering you soul-filled content that will help you clarify your purpose, overcome your obstacles, declare your wins, embrace your uniqueness, and strengthen your resilience. In today's episode, we will be having a soul-filled conversation with Jennifer Coulter. Jennifer has served in ministry for the majority of her life, and Jennifer is currently a Bible teacher at her church and has taught various age groups, including youth, young adult Bible studies, and adult Master Life classes for 8 years. Additionally, Jennifer is the creator of Illuminating Truth, which is a ministry focused on biblical study tools, and Christian education. Jennifer holds a bachelor's and a master's degree in psychology and currently is completing coursework in a dual master's program in couple and family therapy and social work at the University of Louisville. Be ignited. Welcome, Jennifer. I am so excited to have you with us today. But before we begin, I do want to give you an opportunity to just share a little bit about yourself.
My name is Jennifer Coulter. I'm just a lover of God. That's what I like to introduce myself as, a servant of the Lord. I love all things that have to do with God, and that's how I want to live my life. I am the founder of Illuminating Truth, which is a ministry that is focused on biblical study and applying God's word in applicable ways. And so that's something that I love to do. I'm also currently studying to be a marriage and family therapist, and I plan to incorporate spirituality in that practice. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that.
You know, how did you discern your purpose?
That is a loaded question.
For mostly everyone.
It is. So I like to think of myself as not necessarily a willing participant per se of purpose, but being someone who is curious about what my purpose was. And I'm truly a believer that all we need is just a little bit of curiosity.
Yeah.
And God will take that and run with it. And so that is what happened to me. I know that my purpose is wrapped into the mental health space, in addition to being a minister of the word of God. And so when I was 16 years old, I actually knew I wanted to be a therapist. And I remember I come from a predominantly Caucasian town. And so there were not a lot of Black people in my town. I did not have any Black teachers. And I remember walking down the hallway in my at my high school, and I saw this really beautiful Black lady that looked like a teacher at my school. And I asked her, I remember, being a 16-year-old teenager, just her door was cracked, and I poked my head in her door and I said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm the school psychologist. Who are you?" And so I told her who I was. And from there, she took me under her wing, being a mentee to her, kind of telling me about the mental health space and how there needed to be more Black people in the space. Now, this was back in like 2006, saying that there needed to be more Black people in the mental health space. And that's still the same in 2022 as well. But from there, I had my own, that was what I wanted to do. And of course, I got off track with what I wanted to do. But it really wasn't until I was at my church and I was at a young adult meeting. And I'm a pastor's kid. And so I was sitting in the meeting with all of these young adults, and everybody was talking about how they had heard God speak. And I had not heard that. And here I am, a young adult in my early 20s, a pastor's kid, and all of these other people who are not pastors' kids had heard God and I hadn't. And I remember feeling just so embarrassed by that and frustrated because at that time in my life, I had this arrogance about, well, my parents are saved enough for me, or like, I know it all because I've grown up in this life. So it should just come easy for me. And so it was from that arrogance that I actually grew curiosity in trying to hear God speak to me. And so I search in all ways. And I always joke around about this, about how God will use your flaw to bring you closer to him, because I really had a lot of pride and arrogance around that. And that is the exact thing that God used to draw me to him. And so it wasn't until, so searching for his voice in everything, but just going to him. I mean, Zodiac, birth chart, just like all the self-help books that you can think of. And finally, I joined the church that I go to now. I've been there for about 10 years now. And I started working in the youth ministry at the church. The youth pastor, she took me on a retreat, and it was on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania when I heard God speak to me for the first time. And I just had tears falling down my face. And from that point on, I was never the same, you know? And so and that was 25 at that time. So between 25 and, you know, 32 now, hearing God call me into the preaching ministry, growing even stronger in God. And the amazing thing is that it's still going. I know what God has purposed me for. I know what he's called me to. And that has just changed my life tremendously.
Wow. Like the seed was planted when you were in high school, you know, or I don't even know if it was planted in high school. It's almost like maybe it was beginning to get stirred up, because really we're called before we're even formed. You know, we're on the, you know, heart and mind of God before even born. And so it's like he began to awaken your calling in high school, which I think is a great point, especially for our listeners, because if we're trying to discover our purpose, many, many times, if we reflect back on times when we were in high school and when we were, you know, young children, we can see, you know, we can go back and go, wow, I can see how that is connected to what I'm doing now. Absolutely. Or what I long to do. Like, I can clearly see all the dots connected even in my life of being young and coming home and kind of re-preaching the sermon and teaching the sermon. And then fast forward many years later, and I'm doing recordings, you know, of teachings, and here I am, you know, doing a podcast. And so, you know, if you go back and look at your life when you're young, you'll see where God is stirring that gift. He's stirring those gifts up. So I love that. And then the whole idea around God's voice. Now, you know, I do want you to know, you know what we want to know? We're like, what did he say when you were on the mountain? We want to know. And I would love for you, if you can articulate it, because I know it's very difficult sometimes to articulate God's voice. But I think that's kind of like the number one question many people have is like, how do I know? Like, how do I know that it's God's voice? So maybe you could expound on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, you know, I'll preface this by saying I'm actually, which is the first time I'm saying this publicly, I guess, but I'm actually writing a book right now that I've been working on for like 2 years, and it details a lot of these like specific details about things. When I was on the mountain, I heard God say to me, "Jennifer, why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" That was just so profound to me, because that verse can actually be found in the Bible when Jesus is speaking to Mary at the tomb, and he's asking her that, you know, "Who are you crying? Who are you looking for?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "I'm looking for my Lord and Savior. If you've taken him, give him to me and I'll take care of the rest." And what he does is he calls her Mary, And and she proclaims teacher, and she recognizes Jesus. And that has been my testimony scripture in that I've known Jesus my whole life. My mom was pregnant with me sitting on the front pew. I've wow. literally been in church my entire life.
Yes.
I'm a church yes. kid. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't know, I did not know the voice of God. I didn't have a relationship with God myself until I got to a certain point. People want to know what God, what it sounds like when God speaks. That's a very personal, unique situation for me when God speaks to me, because it's a feeling on the inside. Mm. It's almost like, if I can try to describe this, but it's like if you're thinking, let's say just thinking with your mind, but the thought doesn't come from your head. It comes from your heart. It comes from your spirit. That is one of the ways that God speaks to me is that I can, it's not a thought that comes from my mind. And I can actually differentiate the two. It's always in that quietness, that still quietness. But that is certainly what he said. He said, Jennifer, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Wow. And mind you, I was looking for him. I've spent a lot of time, money, energy, resources looking for him in so many different things.
Yeah.
And here I am, isolated on a mountain in Pennsylvania. For the first time, I knew that he cared for me and that he was concerned about me. You know, he sees me opening up these books and seeing what my zodiac sign says, my personality is, and all of these things. He saw me doing all of that. Mm-hmm. And let me do it for a little while.
Yeah.
But then when I was isolated, and I always say that too, isolation, we have to be very careful with that, because if God is isolating us, we're about to be elevated. And there's so many scriptural references to that. But if the enemy's isolating us, it's a demotion. It's depression. It's, you know, nobody cares about me. So we have to know the difference. So I was isolated. He had to get me by myself in order for me to, in order for me to be able to hear him from that. Like I said, from that point on, I was never the same, but he began to cultivate in me ways that he speaks to me. That's why I say it's such a unique process, because I certainly am more in tune with what God is saying to me and how he's speaking to me than I was previously. And it's because since that moment, I've spent time to really understand his voice and give him the opportunity to speak to me.
That's what people do need to know, right? Like you said, is that knowing God's voice is unique to the person. You know, this is a personal relationship. You know, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a cookie cutter kind of relationship. And so how you experience God's voice and is going to be different than, you know, how I experience it. And that is, I think, so important, because people who are searching to hear and to know God's voice, I do think sometimes, you know, they would hear your story and maybe say like, oh my gosh, then I need to wait for God to have this impression, you know, to in my heart, you know, trying to have that same experience. But it is unique. And I love that. And that's the thing that people really should take away from this part of the conversation, is that, you know, you have to listen for yourself.
Because I wish that I could explain how arrogant I was about surrounding my faith walk. Like, it was just such a shock to me.
Yeah.
But sitting in a room full of, it, at that time, the young adult ministry was, there's a lot of young adults, and it was probably like 20 young adults in there. And at that time, I'm so confident that, you know, nobody has anything on me. I mean, I'm a church kid. I've been in church my entire life.
Come on
but
now.
To hear like how off track I was compared to people who haven't been in church their whole life. It was just like such a highly embarrassing thing to me. And that's why I love what you said earlier about looking back on your life and seeing all of the ways that you've been, that God has been showing you, this is what I see, this is what I have for you. Just in giving you enough for you to handle, even as a little kid, maybe not understanding why you know things, you know, prophetically. Like, why is it that I know these things and I'm a kid, you know? And then becoming a 32-year-old woman and being like, I have the gift of being able to yes. speak prophetically.
Exactly.
So I wasn't crazy as a kid. It was just that gift was given to me in a bite-sized way that I could yes. manage it yes. as a kid. And as a 32-year-old woman, I'm still getting that bite size as a 32-year-old woman. It just doesn't look like it did when I was 10.
Every person, God is stirring those gifts up from the time they get into the world. He's tapping. I believe he's drawing exactly. everyone to him. But then it's like, we don't see other people doing it. That's why I am so enjoying these types of conversations, because hopefully it's exposing these gifts. Like, yes, you do have, like, you're not crazy. Sometimes it's so out of the ordinary for perhaps where they're at, the context that they're in, that they don't even believe it. The other thing I thought was really good too, that I think is great, is around the idea that someone took you under their wing. And that's so important, to have people around us who will say, hey, you know, I see something in you. You had somebody who saw something in you, or saw God in you, really, and even perhaps really saw the curiosity. And I think that curiosity is what allows God's voice to be known, perhaps sooner than later. You know, maybe it was, you couldn't hear it because you said you were prideful and arrogant, but it also takes some humility to be curious.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're starting to say, like, okay, I really don't know it all.
Yeah. That's when I think about what you just said about how it takes humility to be curious. When I think about my story, that was the beginning of the breakdown for me. And to be, completely different than I was then, and even more curious. The curiosity hasn't left. It's just gotten greater, more curious to know what God says and what he wants and, what he wants me to do. It got me to a place of where I can say, this is what God has called me to. Another thing, this is kind of adding to how God speaks to me. God speaks to me in dreams a lot, too. And so, I will get a prophetic dream. And so that's a big way that he speaks to me as well. I think that it's been such a blessing to me to have people in my life that see things in me, because as a kid, I was extremely shy. There was a point when I wouldn't even look people in the eye because I was so shy. And I remember being in the third grade, and my third grade teacher, he took his hand and like put it under my chin and like lifted my chin up. And he was like, look people in the eye when they're talking to you, you know, cause I was just so, awkward, shy, embarrassed about everything. Mm-hmm. Everything embarrassed me. And so, you know, growing and seeing, being able to get in line with people who would see things in me that I didn't see in myself, and wanting mm-hmm. to nurture those things. And yeah. that's still happening, you know, to this day, people seeing things in me, mm-hmm. And wanting to bring those things out. And that's a really big pivotal part of my journey as well, because I think about a really significant story of, I was working at a property, and this was that year that it was, this was before I had this experience with God on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And I was in kind of a spiritual funk because I was wrestling with a lot of things. And there was a lady that I had met when I first moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and I hadn't talked to her in years. Well, she randomly texted me and was like, hey, we're having a Bible study and I really want to invite you. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll come after work. And I really didn't want to go, but I made myself go. And when I went there, someone spoke, poured into me prophetically about a lot of things that God is wanting to do. And she said to me, you have an anointing on your life. And she mentioned that someone has been praying fervently for you. And so I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't know what it meant to have an anointing on your life or to have a call on your life. And so they invited me to come to church with them, come to their church, you know, to visit. Well, a couple of weeks pass, I end up going to their church, and I get to their church and I'm just in such a horrible mood. I sit in the back, and in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, as soon as this preacher gets on praying, I'm out of here. This, my mood was just so bad. So we stand up to, he's about to pray. We stand up. Someone walks next to me and grabs my hand and holds my hand really tight. And I look over, and it's the woman who invited me to the Bible study.
Wow.
And she says to me, as soon as he gets done praying, we're going to go up front.
What?
Yes. So in my head, I'm thinking, you're going to go up front. I'm leaving, you know,
right.
So I'm leaving. You can go up front. But she's holding onto my hand really tight. As soon as he gets done praying, she doesn't stop holding onto my hand and holds my hand up to the front. And it was an old school church. So the pews, you know, really long pews that seem to go forever.
Yeah.
We're in the pew and we're not even sitting on the end. We're sitting smack dab in the middle where you have to walk past like 20 people to get out. And here I am, like this person that's always thinking about it, like so thoughtful, like, oh, I don't want to interrupt anybody. So now I'm stuck here in this place. I have a bad attitude. I don't want to be here or whatever. And guess what he preached about that day? What it means to be anointed and to have a call on your life.
Wow.
And I'm getting chills just saying it. It was
amazing.
Such a fight. And when I talk about these things, and there's so many other stories like this that have happened to me, we really are wrestling with spiritual matters. Yeah. It's a real thing. Had I left, I would have never even known what that meant. And that piqued my curiosity even more. So I'm continuing to go down this rabbit hole of, okay, so now I know what this means. So now I want to learn more. Whereas if I would have allowed that presence that was trying really hard to get me to leave, so I wouldn't hear that.
Yeah.
Who knows how long it would have taken me to get back around. So it's really just God looking out and other people either voluntarily or involuntarily being used by God to make sure that you're in position. I think about the fact that we have to be obedient, even if it doesn't make sense, because our obedience is connected to someone else's prayer.
Yes. So
when they're praying and asking God to send somebody, I need help, I need this, I need that. They're praying and we're deciding that we don't want to do it because we don't feel like it. We're blocking someone else's progress.
Yes.
So I'm thankful today and always for the people who maybe didn't know why they had to come see a little girl, a young adult girl that was wrestling with a call, but they did it anyways. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Is when you talk about having dreams, just this week. So I had my first dream with scripture when late 90s. And it was the first time I ever had a dream with scripture in it. Matter of fact, I woke up, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the person who's supposed to be doing this. My husband's a minister. He's the one who's supposed to be having, you know, dreams with scripture in them. And this week, it's interesting because just this week, I've been really reflecting back on that very first scripture that I had a dream with, is John 7:1-23. I've had subsequent dreams. I ended up going to a women's conference shortly after that first dream, a few months later. And like all the scriptures I dreamed about, the women preached about, which all of that was so different from me, right? And so, you know, God does speak through our dreams. And you know, if we're curious, and really the other word that came to me was hungry, you know, when we're hungry, right, hungering and thirsting, then he will bring to us what we need. But as you were talking, it came to me like how, like all the ways God has connected dots between you and I, because the very first time I remember seeing you had was doing a class on calligraphy, or was it drawing real beautifully, you know? And I sent you a message. It was like, hey, I'm going to, I'd love to get you to come and do a class with the ministry I was working for at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I was offered I offered this group through that ministry, and this sweet woman was a part of this group. And she, I don't know how many weeks we had met. Maybe it was right away. I cannot remember. But at some point she mentions that she is your mother. And I'm like, what? And you and I hadn't even really met. Mm-hmm. You know, we hadn't actually talked really, other than, yeah, you were like, sure, I'd love to do it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's how, like, those are almost like little repetitions of some sort. It's like, that's where God would be speaking to me, saying, pay attention to her, to Jennifer, right? Because now I've brought her mother. I've brought her mother to you, you know, and so this means this person is important. You know what I mean? We're all important, but this person is somebody to pay attention to. And so I was just thinking, that just came to me, like, look at how God has even just connected those dots. As you begin to move forward into your purpose, because one of the things that's really been strong for me the last few weeks is around women experiencing rejection. Mm. And because they're experiencing that rejection, they are struggling with even whether they have purpose, right? Or wanting to give up on purpose, right? So could you share with us how rejection has hindered you or helped you move towards your purpose, or maybe both?
Well, you know, rejection's hindering me now. As far as not even me feeling rejected, but just other people rejecting me. And what I mean by that is I'm compared to David a lot by random people. And, you know, one lady, she actually called me Davisha. She's like, you're Davisha. when I think about his story and just the rejection that he faced and how there are parallels, you know, one of the things that I found to be discouraging, it was really discouraging in the beginning of my journey, even just being a kid too, but as I've, you know, grown up and become an adult, it becomes less and less, but just not looking what people want you to look like or to be, you know, gimmicky or flashy, or, you know, it's almost like just the word of God, this isn't enough. Just speaking that is just isn't enough anymore. And so I have always wanted to kind of march to the beat of my own drum, even as a teenager, and not like really a trend follower, per se. To me, it's like, this is what you get. You know, you get what you get. You don't pitch a fit, as the little kids would say. So there's been rejection around that, you know, because I'm not conforming to the influencer type of lifestyle. And so, I really have had situations where it's like, well, you know, you don't really have the look we're going for. There was a point in time where that had been very frustrating and hurtful to me, because just as there are people who are wanting to grab your hand and hold your hand tight and walk you up to the front of the church, there's also people that want to grab your hand and hold you tight and walk you, keep you in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, navigating that, those feelings that surround that, knowing that there's more and that there's greater. Spirit of rejection operating, you know, in me. And that was something that I have, you know, prayed about and have overcome. And then also dealing with rejection in the romantic space, you know, or in the studious space. You can internalize these things when you feel like there's constantly, like you're constantly not meeting the mark.
Yeah.
For people. I would say that that's certainly how I've experienced rejection, you know, just in almost every facet of my life. And I didn't realize that it was so deep, like rooted in me. Being in a therapy, a program working towards becoming a therapist, that has certainly helped, coupled with my walk with God and my spirituality. But, and being able to name those things and release them to God too. The way we talk sometimes, I know certainly I can admit for myself, when there have been times where I really will say, you know, I want to do this. And I'm like, well, no one will go to it. Or I'll create this and, well, no one will buy it, you know, or I'll make this podcast. Well, nobody will listen to it.
Yes.
Where did that come from? That comes from that rejection, being constantly rejected and having to overcome those things, overcome those, that spirit, because the root of rejection is fear.
Mm.
So, and then we know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So that goes against what God would have for us, being able to recognize that that's the adversary trying to stop us from being able to do the things that God wants us to do.
So I would love to hear about, you know, how do you overcome your obstacles?
The obstacles that I would say that I face is really just that self-doubt. I know like self-sabotaging is kind of a buzzword now, but it's a real thing. Self-sabotaging, wanting to do something and then like talking yourself out of it, or whatever your mindset is, whatever mindset you have coming into something is how, what it's going to end up, up being. You know, if you already think that it's going to be a bad situation, then that's what's going to happen. And so the way I combat those things is renewing the mind. And that might sound like a very simplistic thing. Well, that's easier said than done, but it actually is a lot easier to do when we are in tune and aware of those thoughts that come into our mind. So, in the therapy world, cognitive distortions, are those things that we have that, those beliefs that we have that are distorted. They're not true. We don't have any evidence of that. And I've gotten pretty proficient with being able to have that self-talk, of Jennifer, what evidence do you have that this is the case? What evidence do you have? You don't have any evidence. Okay. Well then come back when you have some evidence, or, you know, asking, or saying to myself, instead of assuming, why don't you just go ask that person? Why don't you go, talk to the person and give them the opportunity to respond to these thoughts that you're having. And that goes along with the biblical principle of Paul saying, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, you know, think about all of the, whatever's praiseworthy, think about these things. And that's really how I overcome the obstacles, is through prayer, of course, but also through renewing the mind. Just having that dialogue with myself and understanding that, everybody doesn't see things the way that I see them.
Yeah.
And we're always harder on ourselves anyways. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly people that, you know, look up to me or think I'm a role model, and but yet here I am thinking, oh, I'm not doing enough. Or I'm not enough. You know, I don't have any evidence of that, and it's not true.
Yeah.
And then knowing what God thinks about me too. When I was in the youth ministry, with the young girls, it was a high school program. I created this program called Your Name and Your Word, which actually comes from something my dad used to say all the time. All you have in this life is your name and your word. And so what I would have the girls do is I would have them write their name out, first, middle, and last, and then the definition for what those, what their name meant. And then I would have them connect a Bible verse to the definition. And that became their mission statement. So this is your mission statement. This is because I truly believe that what a child is named is connected to their purpose. And there's biblical backing for that too. And so I wanted them to be connected to their purpose. And then that was something that I did for myself too. And it's something that I review for myself. So when I'm getting in these spaces of like feeling rejected or wanting to feeling like there's so many obstacles, I'm reminded of this mission statement that's connected to my purpose. And then also what God has, it helps. It really helps to know what God has purposed you for. I mean, that's a game changer to me because
yes,
you're able to, those cognitive distortions that come up, you really are able to say, no, I know what God promised me. I may not see it, but I have enough faith to know that this is what he promised and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I believe our purpose happens when we are being an expression of God's love in the world. And we do that through teaching your Bible study or doing your podcasts where you're sharing God's word, or when you're creating those beautiful journals that you share, you know, that's really being an expression of God's love in the world. And when we really, like you say, know that this is how God wants to express his love through me, then it does help us to move beyond those thoughts, those negative thoughts. The more you move into your purpose, it's like there is that God confidence that shows up, and it just continues to compel you to move forward despite all those thoughts that may pop in, or even other people's attitudes or whatever. Yeah. You know, because you have a deeper knowing, like this is it. This is where I'm supposed to be. And therefore, if someone has a problem with it, they need to talk to the one who put me here. How are you unique?
Well, I truly believe, I was telling a friend yesterday, I really believe I can do anything except math. I feel like that's probably the one thing I can't do is math. I think that, and I say that, you know, jokingly, I'm thankful that I grew up in a household that our creativity was encouraged very, very highly encouraged. I'm a jack of all trades. I can do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I also am very, it's very easy for me to connect with other people and to have that rapport with other people. And that's a unique thing. I consider myself to be very feminine. And I know in a world where sometimes that seems like it's a bad thing, it's something I'm very proud of. Definitely a unique aspect to the call that God has put on my life is to be feminine and to be female, teaching, experience God's word in a really special way, and then being able to communicate that to other people is a uniqueness to me too.
How do you know, how do you know when you are in the flow of your purpose?
Well, I certainly know that I'm in my flow when I'm in my flow, which is actually a positive psychology term, meaning, you know, you're in flow when you're doing some sort of activity and you're not even cognizant of how much time has passed.
Yeah.
You know, and when I am doing creative things, that is when I'm in my flow. I mean, I can pump out a website in a very short period of time or a flyer or something like that, because it's almost like I don't want to use the word obsession because it's not the right word, but it's like, I just am incessantly like working on it. And then I wake up, or then I come to, and it's like, oh my goodness, I've been sitting here for, for like 5 hours. Right. To get up and like eat and take my dog out. But that is, I would say that's how I declare my wins. I'm just very proud of the things that I'm able to produce. Always humbles me and makes me excited to know that God has given me these things. It's not ability that I can do, but it's ability that he's given me or gifted me. Mm-hmm. And being able to think about things. I remember being a kid and my dad would always say, just think, Jennifer, just think, you know, he always say that. And there was a time on my 18th birthday, my alternator went out on a car I had. And so he and I were trying to put a new alternator in for my birthday, and he couldn't figure out how to get it out. So we went inside and he asked me to make him like, he always liked bologna and Miracle Whip, which is disgusting to me, but he always wanted that. And so I went and made him that sandwich. And he said, sometimes all you need is a sandwich and some time to think.
Wow.
And he ate that sandwich and he sat back on the couch and he put his head back and he just was quiet for a few minutes. And then he got up and went outside and figured it out. And that was just such an amazing thing.
Yes.
And something I carry with me all the time is like just thinking things, being able to think things through to figure things out.
Yeah.
And knowing that that was, instilled in me from my dad, but I also know that God was involved in that too, for me to have that experience with him. Having those moments of where I can say, I'm proud of myself.
What kind of practices do you have in place to strengthen your resilience?
Well, certainly just affirmations. I like affirmations. And I think that, well, I know that you can do affirmations from a biblical standpoint, you know, using those affirmations for multiple areas of my life. You know, what I'm wanting to do as far as going through school and you know, church things, just how I feel about myself, that builds that resilience, and just renewing the mind, which I've already said before, but my favorite Bible verse is Romans 5:3-5. And that is where Paul is saying, not only that, but we rejoice in suffering because that produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Mm-hmm. And that hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, when I quote that scripture, I mean, I'm always thinking about that scripture because there are some things that I've had to suffer in my life, but to know that the suffering that I've had has built, that I can see that it has produced endurance in me, that I can see that I'm not one to give up so easily, that my character is different because of it, that I still have hope, you know, despite the things that have happened. That's just a really big resilience activity that I do, is just replaying that scripture over in my mind. Or the many things that try to get us off track, like try to get us off purpose, that there's still a praise there. Like it's a built-in praise. Like that's what Romans is saying to me, is that even though I'm suffering, there's a built-in praise already.
Yeah.
Once I get past the suffering, I'm going to be able to praise because I have endured and my character is better. And I still have hope despite the suffering. And I'm not put to shame because God has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have evidence that this whole thing is real because he's living inside of me.
Yeah.
And that gives me the strength to keep going. Like, I'm very motivated by like other people, as far as like, I feel like if I don't do it, then, you know, and that could probably, that's probably not always the best thing for me to think sometimes, because it gets me like doing things that I'm like, man, I really don't have time to do this, but I feel responsible for this person or for this situation. Mm-hmm. But that keeps me, that provides resilience for me and keeps me going too, is to know that I'm responsible for someone, just like the Bible says that we have to love each other. We love God, we love each other. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible for you.
Yeah.
And that, you're responsible for me.
Yeah. It's true. And you know, in formative spirituality, we talk about transformative suffering. Mm-hmm. Because suffering is, that's what that passage is really saying, is that the suffering that you're going through, it really is an invitation to be transformed in some way. It's not just about the suffering, you know, there's an invitation to be formed into the image of God. It's an invitation to become more than where you are in the suffering, you know? And a lot of times the reason why we suffer the most is because we're trying to avoid suffering.
I think I'll just end by just saying, you know, for anyone who is listening out here that is still searching for their purpose, don't stop searching for it. Keep searching for it, because, you know, going back to what we said in the very beginning, that curiosity, that's going to get you closer and closer, even when it feels like, you know, it's not. I love when James says that you, as you draw near to God, he draws near to you. Mm-hmm. That's, he's not going to stop. And he's pursuing you now. Mm-hmm. He's pursuing you now. I may not even feel like it, but every piece of curiosity that you're doing, every action of curiosity, is God wooing and pursuing you. Mm-hmm. And so when you feel it, you know, it says, when you hear the word, the voice of God, you hear that beckoning, harden not your heart in rebellion. Allow yourself to be pursued and wooed, and know that on the other side of that, it's going to be more than what you can even handle. If the Bible says that, he's going to give you abundantly more. Whatever more is for me, God's more is like a million times more than that. And that blows my mind. And so that's what I want for, you know, everyone is to have, is because I know what it's like to be the person that doesn't know and is searching. So don't stop searching and know that he's real and he cares about you. And he's looking, he sees your past, your present, and your future. He's just waiting for you to say yes and let him do the rest.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great way for us to end. Thank you for listening. Now is the time to go to my website, www.joycelynlewis.com. That's joycelynlewis.com. And download 25 questions to help you discover your strengths and talents just by joining the email list. You can also check out the resources tab, where you can see a video about affirmations and a prayer practice called the Prayer of Examine. All three resources will aid you in igniting your power. Be ignited.